Good evening, everybody. This is John Reese at BluePower.com, welcoming you to part three of the Stax story. One of the most incredible record companies the United States, or the world for that matter, had ever seen. They came and they went inside a period of 15 years. Yet what they contributed to the world musical legacy is beyond belief. And one of the things that they taught us all to do was respect yourself. Mavis can sing, can't she? Mavis Staples and the Staples Singers. Respect Yourself. That was a big, big record for Stax. And that went to R&B number 2 and Pop number 12. It was produced by Mr. Al Bell. The Staples family goes all the way back to Mississippi, where as a young man, Roebuck Staples played guitar and sang in local choirs. In the mid-30s, he and his wife, Osceola, traveled up the Mississippi River to Chicago in search of work, like many of his contemporaries. The Staples had three daughters and a son, each of whom sang from an early age. They put together a family gospel act, which, until the mid-60s, included all but the youngest daughter, Yvonne, and by the mid-50s were considered one of the finest vocal groups in the field. I guess you can tell, right? Because they had a whole lot of hit records, and they are a marvelous group to see, and Miss Mavis Staples just kills me. Well, coming up next is the man who brought you Hot Buttered Soul, Mr. Isaac Hayes. Not only was he a tremendously talented and gifted performer, but producer and writer as well, and a player. He does it all. Mr. Isaac Hayes and the theme from Shaft. Mr. Isaac Hayes, born on August the 6th in 1938 in Covington, Tennessee. As a songwriter, arranger, producer, pianist, and vocalist for Stax Volt Records in the 60s and early 70s, Isaac Hayes played an essential part in the making of Memphis Soul. And in the early 70s, he laid the groundwork for disco. I didn't know that. Hayes has since been credited as the original rapper, although his influence was first evident in the sexy, seductive bedroom rapping of Barry White and Marvin Gaye. I could see it in Barry White. I don't want to see no brassiere, my dear. I'll always remember that line from one of Barry White's songs. But Isaac Hayes was something else. He did it all. He played, he wrote, he sang, he performed. And he was a good businessman as well. And I guess you all know him too as the cook on South Park. Here's another one. One of Mr. Isaac Hayes' real fine recordings. song called Walk On By. Mr. Isaac Hayes and his rendition of the great Bacharach David tune, Walk On By. I believe the first person to ever have a hit on that was the beautiful Miss Dionne Warwick. I love her to death. Little Milton, that's what love will make you do, baby. You know it will. Turn your heart inside out.
yes you can. When they talk about making love, baby, you're the best, well, yes you are. I don't want to brag about you too much and give others ideas, but I'm trying hard to express myself.
Mr. Little Milton, that's what love will make you do. It sure twists your head around, I know that. That was released in December of 1971. You know, this is John Reese telling you a little bit about the musical history of Stax Records. Stax Records was an amazing company, which was created by Jim Stewart and his sister, Estelle Axton. The ST from Stewart, and the AX from Axton. Started out as a multiracial company, and Jim and Estelle loved black music, loved gospel music, loved country music, started a small record company called Satellite Records. And when they were sued about that, they didn't like Satellite anyway, so they changed it to Stax. And from there on, the rest is history. Some of the greatest musicians in the country down there, kind of like the Funk Brothers up in Detroit. You had the Stax musicians down in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to read a little piece here from thehistoryofrock.com. Hope they don't mind. We're talking around 1969 now. And I'll pick it up here. It says, after a couple of years, sales were down and there were internal troubles at Stax. External pressure was coming from Gulf and Western, who really didn't have a clue about the creative aspects of a record company. I think they had borrowed some money from Gulf and Western. And, you know, it's a big banking concern. Jim Stewart thought he could rescue the company, and he and Al Bell repurchased the company from Gulf and Western in July of 1970. Soon the company was challenging Motown for the lead in black album sales, with new artists such as the Soul Children, the Staple Singers, Frederick Knight, Gene Knight, Rance Allen, Mel and Tim, and the Emotions. Richard Pryor was signed to the company and had a giant debut album called That Nigger's Crazy, on Partee, the comedy subsidiary. Other new subsidiary labels were also formed, including Gospel Truth, Hip, and Respect. It was an amazing company, and it just goes to show what happens when there is no color barrier, there is no race barrier, when everybody enjoys each other for what they can do. It's a mighty good thing when that happens.
Come love with me.
Ms. Mavis Staples with the Staples Singers. If you're ready, come go with me. That says it all. At least that's the way I feel. You know, I just see all this push-pull, black-white, yin-yang, up-down. I mean, I realize that that's the way it is. But some things are just taken to extremes. Yeah, Come Go With Me, released in September of 1973 on Stax Records, went to number one R&B, pop number nine. People were still hanging on from the 60s.
But it's all so easy.
The Magnificent Power of Mr. Otis Redding, Try a Little Tenderness. That was released in March of 1967. At least it was recorded in March of 1967 in London at a live concert there. I've tried to give you an idea, at least a little idea, of how Stax started and how it felt when it first started. I mean, it was like a family. It was an amazing thing. I've seen that happen several times, where the more affluent the family grew, the farther the family grew apart. And I don't know why it happens, but it does. But Stax Records was certainly a marvel. And here is basically the end of it. In 1972, Al Bell made a deal with Columbia Records for the distribution of Stax product. Columbia gave Stax a $6 million loan for expansion. In October of 1972, Al Bell used the money to buy out Jim Stewart. Even though he no longer owned the company, Stewart agreed to stay on as president for up to 5 years. But Al Bell ran the company. The handshake deal between Al Bell and Clive Davis, president of Columbia Records, called for Columbia to pay Stax for every record it delivered, irrespective of sales, and that was an unheard-of agreement, and it was a handshake deal. In 1973, Clive Davis was fired, and Columbia altered the deal, cutting the payments to Stax by 40%. This led to the financial decline of the label. And in January 1975, Stax was unable to meet its payroll, and a bankruptcy judge ordered its closing on January 12, 1976. So like a bolt of lightning, Stax Records came into the world and left the same way. But Stax Records has left a musical legacy that is hard to beat. I mean, just look at the artists. Booker T and the MGs, Eddie Floyd, Carla Thomas, Sam and Dave, Rufus Thomas, the Staple Singers, Johnny Taylor, Albert King, the Emotions, Isaac Hayes, Otis Redding. Well, good evening, everybody. This is John Reese from BluePower.com in beautiful downtown Van Nuys, California. This is the last part of three shows called The Stax Story, and it's a brief history of Stax Records told to you by the artists themselves. An amazing story of a great company, great group of people, twisted the world around, turned it right upside down. Mr. Booker T and the MGs, Soul Limbo, how low can you go? Well, I tell you what, I can go pretty low. Love everybody, take care of yourselves, and take care of your brothers and sisters. They need your help. Bye-bye.